What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
How many discounts does USAA auto insurance offer? Too many to say here. Multi-vehicle discount, safe driver discount, new vehicle discount, storage discount, legacy.
How many discounts will you stack up? Tap the banner or visit usaa.com/auto discounts. Restrictions apply.
LifeLock, how can I help?
The IRS said I filed my return,
but I haven't.
1 in 4 tax-paying Americans has paid the price of identity fraud.
What do I do?
My refund, though.
I'm freaking out.
Don't worry, I can fix this.
LifeLock fixes identity theft guaranteed and gets your money back with up to $3 million in coverage.
I'm so relieved.
No problem. I'll be with you every step of the way.
1 in 4 was a fraud-paying American. Not anymore. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/podcast. Terms apply.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Hunting Gear Podcast, and I'm pretty excited about today's episode for a couple reasons. This is the first time we have two guys on the show at the same time, so it's going to be interesting from a conversation standpoint, but also a brand, in my opinion, and we don't get into turkey hunting gear here too terribly much, but from a brand that, in my opinion, is very recognizable. It's very cornerstone. It's like the cornerstone Nightingale and Primos when you think about turkey hunting. Those are it when you talk about turkey hunting from back in the day when I started turkey hunting. And today we are joined by Matt and Jimmy from Nightingale. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Dan. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And we're going to talk a little bit about the products, the brand, the history of this company. But before we get into this episode, I do have to do a quick shout out to the partners of this podcast, and that is Code Blue Scents. If you are looking for any type of real or synthetic deer urine, go check out Code Blue Scents, one of my favorite products that they make. And now I just saw an announcement that they are making it in a two-pack, which is great for me. It is the Rope-A-Dope Mock Scrape Kit. I'm a huge fan of setting up my ambush points for deer hunting with the Mock Scrape Kit. You put a camera on that mock scrape, and now you're getting inventory of not just the bucks in the area, but all the deer in the area. And I really love that. So go to codebluesense.com, discount code NFC20 for 20% off. And then next we have the Reveal trail cameras. Go check out the new 3.0 versions of the Reveal trail camera and at tacticam.com/cameras. Very easy to set up. Scan a QR code, put batteries in the camera, download the app, and you're ready to go. Ease of use is second to none. So go check out Reveal. Go check out Code Blue Sense. All right, gentlemen, that's how I pay my bills. Let's talk Nightingale. Like I said in the intro there, Nightingale, when I was a kid, man, I had almost Nightingale everything. I can remember my first box call was Nightingale. My first striker slate call was Nightingale. My first ever turkey vest was Nightingale. And so I was that Walmart kid, right? I'd go to Walmart. I'd buy my turkey clothing there, anything I needed. I got it there. Nightingale was there. And it was a brand that it's very recognizable to me. So why don't we start off with a little bit of company history?
Yeah. So, I grew up on Nightingale too, but I didn't start turkey hunting until the 2010 timeframe. So yep. A little different timeframe, but all my calls were Nightingale when I started too. Nightingale was formed back in 1972. Harold Knight was making turkey calls kind of out of his garage and just on the side. He was a barber by trade in Kentucky, and he had kind of gotten a word of mouth reputation for this tube call he was making. He was making a tube call out of a pill bottle and latex. So he was a big hunter. David was also a big hunter. They didn't know each other growing up, but by chance, David killed a gobbler kind of in the area, and in an area where not a lot of people were killing turkeys. So people were asking me, what did you use to kill the turkey? And he said, I don't even have a call. So somebody turned him on to going to meet Harold. And so I said, you need to go over to this barbershop. And so just by chance, they met each other because Harold was making those calls. And David went to get one. And they struck up a friendship, started hunting together. And, you know, by chance, again, they ran into a rider in the woods. Like Harold and David were hunting separately, but meeting back at the truck or whatever. And Harold was out in the woods on a gobbler and David was just waiting, and a rider pulled up and was like, what's that around your neck? And it was that tube call. And so they ended up getting some publicity from this rider who bought a tube call. And then it just kind of spiraled from there. And then sometime in the 80s, they went full time, just kept growing and growing. And Harold won some call contests, and just, you know, they just became a big name in the turkey world. And, you know, in other calls too, they had goose calls. They had ended up making all kinds of calls over the years. But yeah, they started a TV production. That was the thing. They really wanted to figure out how to advertise the product. And they figured out the best way to do that was through TV and VHS. And, you know, they started their hunting show, and then it just took off from there. And They're just super relatable guys. And, you know, they are the brand. So, that's kind of what made it up.
And that's very interesting, because what you said there was a lot like how Realtree got started. Another iconic brand in the space. You know, guy has a product. He starts to talk to people about it. He starts to talk to writers. And then he starts the media side of things as well to really showcase the brand in action. And so I just feel like that is such an awesome way. Back in the day, it was such an awesome way how guys were getting their products out. It's not like today. I just feel like today is way, obviously, it's way easier, but it's more calculated. It's not like, hey, I got a pill bottle and I put some latex on it, right? It's not like that anymore, I don't think. And so I love those origin stories.
Well, it's like a lot of companies now, they'll come out with a product, and by the time you see it, they've already got a polished, you know, social media presence, and it looks like, you know, it's something that it's really not. And, you know, there's a lot of sweat, blood, and tears that went into starting the business. And, you know, they risked it all multiple times to, you know, put money into molds that they didn't have the money for, to, you know, take these riders on hunts. That was the other thing. They talk about riders a lot and how they utilized them, and, you know, they would put everything they had into one product into advertising it for that year. Like they invented the first push pull call. And I think that it was like they scrounged up like $35,000 and then spent it on like they had like 7 ads running simultaneously like the month before turkey season and the big, you know, hunting magazines. Like, we're going to sell like 12,000 calls, and they sold like 60,000, and they were just like, you know, doing everything they could to make those. They're like, we could have sold double that if we would have had, you know, the product. But
right.
It just took off. They have a great name in the turkey industry, and, you know, always will. They're just good guys.
Yeah. Are those guys still involved with the company?
Yes, me and Jimmy are developing products together, and, you know, that's kind of where it starts, but everything that we've touched has gone through Harold. He's still super involved. I talk with him at least weekly, and, you know, he's super excited that we're launching the new turkey call line again this year. Has been super involved in that. And, you know, I'm getting everything I can out of his head. You know, he's forgotten more about turkey hunting than I'll ever learn and call making. And that's the other part of it is, you know, I can get stuff done. I've never been a call maker myself. Right. So trying to learn everything I can from him and from David. You know, David unfortunately has had some health problems in recent years, but he still lives right across the road from Harold. Harold goes and visits him just about every day. So kind of feeding everything through Harold right now, just to, you know, give Mr. David, what we're talking about, but not bombard him too much.
Yeah. Hey, Jimmy, did this brand sit kind of idle for a while?
It did. It's been a significant amount of years since it's pretty much sat in a corner, right?
Right.
You know, Matt was involved with some of the running gun turkey vests, right? The RNG 200, which, you know, pretty much is a staple in the line right now. And we've seen a lot of success with that vest, honestly. And to have a turkey vest, right, that does so well and not have a call to put in it, kind of doesn't make sense, right? So, you know, when I come on about a year and a half ago, and I am a big turkey hunter, right? That's my passion. You know, got together with Matt and our GM, Brian Malone, and, you know, we started to formulate a plan, right? And here we are in 2025 about to release one of the pillars of the industry, bringing back night and hail game calls. And we are excited, to be honest with you. So,
yeah. Yeah. And so let me ask you a question. This is not to bash Pradco. Okay. Mm-hmm. But what happens, and I've seen it with my own eyes, is a company gets sold to one of these bigger holding companies. Okay. Like the Faradines of the world, the Pure Archery groups like that. You know, I could go on. But what happens is when it's sold, the brand tends to lose some of its gusto, because now it's not about necessarily the brand per se. It's about financial efficiency at that point. How do you guys take an iconic brand like that that was sold and keep the gusto alive in it?
Well, I want to take one step back there before we go forward with it, Dan. You know, when you look at Pradco, we are a big company, but I will say this, we are family owned by the Stevenson family.
Yep.
So, and I've come from this world. I've worked in this world for the last 25 years, and I've seen exactly what you stated happen, right? Mm-hmm. To elaborate even more on it, I would say that there was some mismanagement, some quality control issues, and, you know, Matt can kind of elaborate on that too, but it sat in the corner just because of some mismanagement issues, quite frankly.
I think part of it was timing as well. I mean, so you think about it, kind of the time frame. Night and Hail stopped making calls in 2017 to 2018. 2 years later, or a year and a half later, COVID hit, and the turkey industry itself went from kind of being on the downslope to all of a sudden a huge boost in, you know, users, pretty much. So people that, you know, only deer hunted when turkey hunted or when COVID hit, they were like, what am I going to do? And we saw a surge in turkey hunters that either hadn't hunted in years or were just new hunters. And I really think we missed the boat there, honestly. If we would have, you know, waited another year or two, I think we would have seen a resurgence in the brand. But to Jimmy's point, yeah, there probably was a little bit of that, and that's something that we're fully avoiding at this point. Mm-hmm. Like when I say that, you know, I want Harold and David to be super involved, that was my biggest goal when we said we were going to start making turkey calls again. Was I don't know exactly all the details of what happened because I was still pretty new, and I managed, like you mentioned, Code Blue. Shout out to Code Blue. Mm-hmm. I managed Code Blue as well, and you know, there was probably a little bit of that when they bought Code Blue back in the 90s as well. But like Jimmy said, we're all hunters. We're super, you know, super close with Harold and David, and want them to be, you know, kind of the final stamp on everything, so that we don't get away from where the company came from, like maybe we had back in, you know, the early 2000s. But yeah, I think what you're going to see is a lot of the old school, you know, bread and butter that Night and Hail was formed on, and that's kind of the direction that we're trying to go for sure.
Yeah, yeah. How do you guys do that? Like, how do you? Because there's so many things have changed from a marketing standpoint. Mm-hmm. That man, you got to have this presence on social media, and the mm-hmm. demographic shift changes a little bit by those who consume social media content. Because when I envision Night and Hail in its prime, those people now are in their 50s and 60s. Okay. Mm-hmm. So how do you take a brand like Night and Hail that was iconic, you know, a decade ago, maybe even longer than that, and make it, I hate to use the word hip and cool, now to this younger generation?
Well, there's some of that, but when it comes down to it, nobody kills turkeys better than the guys that are in their 50s and 60s, the guys that grew up on Night and Hail in that time frame. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of technological advances, you know, just looking at decoys in general, and just all the blinds, there are a lot of things that have changed since, you know, Night and Hail started. But yeah. So we plan to incorporate some of that with the brand, so we can appeal to that younger hunter and bring them in. But when it comes down to it, the bedrock is still going to be that we're going to make good calls, and we're going to make something that, you know, is user friendly, and, you know, that is going to appeal to both our consumer base that grew up on Night and Hail and those young guys, and get them involved. Because I know that you can DIY anything right now. You can go and go to YouTube and try to figure out how to do it. But if you walk out in the woods and try to turkey hunt without kind of a mentor or somebody bringing you into it, like, it's just not that easy. Right. You know, you see everything looks easy on YouTube, but, you know, and you can learn how to run a call, but knowing what to do and how to do it, that's where, you know, the old school presence is going to be helpful. So
yeah, absolutely.
We plan to appeal to both sides.
And when you look at, you know, you point out social media, Dan, you know, when I come back into this scene over here with Matt and looked at the social media numbers, It was surprisingly pleasant to see how many likes and how many followers Night and Hail still had, right? You know, the demographics, it might be, to your point, the older hunter, but that older hunter has kids, right, that he's bringing into the space, right?
Oh,
so,
yep.
You know, they're talking about Night and Hail, and look, you know, and it's funny because my 11-year-old, man, he's on the Night and Hail website, and granted, I obviously work for the company, but he's excited about it, right? So... to see that. And I think another thing is, you know, we're obviously going to attend NWTF in a big way this year. And I call it, you know, kind of the consumer warfare, the consumer shows and whatnot. So we're going to get back out there and get in touch with this younger crowd, right? And I think the biggest thing there is making people feel a part of what you're doing is key to success, right? And I think Harold and David did that back in the day when they started. So we're gonna kind of follow suit with their, you know, with what they did.
Yeah, yeah. So then, I mean, the next progression in this conversation is talk to us about what you guys have already accomplished in the rebirth of this brand, what your goals are, have you accomplished those goals, and what the next steps look like to get this brand resurgence at full bore, especially with turkey season coming up.
Yeah. So we had been kind of stewing over how we would relaunch the brand for, you know, a few months, especially around the time that Jimmy came on. Jimmy apparently has a little more influence than I do here at Pradco. So we've been pushing for Night and Hail to be, you know, get back into the call game for a while, but we kind of got over the hump and focused on the products that we're launching this year to make sure that they were up to snuff as far as quality, that we could have them here in time for turkey season, and basically concentrate on this, you know, small but quality offering. So we've got 10 new calls dropping this year. We've already got all the calls in stock, and we've got a number of things in the hopper for next year as far as calls go. But like Jimmy said, in those years when the call side was dormant, we were still selling tons and tons of turkey vests. So we've got we launched two new turkey vests last year, our two new camo patterns. We updated our offering to also include green leaf and original bottomland. So those have been selling like crazy. So we're concentrating both on the call side and on the accessory side. So we have a new turkey chair for this year, but we also have, there's just a lot of stuff in the hopper. So yeah, we're close on a lot of projects that probably could have been launched this year, but again, we really focused on this specific set and said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to make sure this is done well. We've got new calls plus some old favorites that you'll see at NWTF. The most iconic call Nightingale probably ever made was the Old Yeller. Everybody had an Old Yeller. You still see, I mean, if you look, go look on eBay and see what the Old Yellers are going for. People long for this call. So we're relaunching the Old Yeller. It's the exact same surface that we've used for, you know, since the call originated. So in our absence, it might've been imitated, but that Old Yeller, there's nothing like the real thing. So that was my biggest focus, was to say, let's start with a good lineup and make sure that we have the Old Yeller obviously in the mix. And then there are some other favorites that we've got, you know, on the docket to bring back as well. You go look at the social media posts, like all these guys have been waiting to see something from Nightingale. And then the first comment is not like, oh, cool, I'm excited about this. It's like, when are you bringing back this call? When are you bringing back this vest? When am I going to get more of this? So we hear you. And, there's definitely a lot of that on the docket.
Yeah. How difficult is it to manage 10 plus new products launched in a single year?
I wouldn't say it's super difficult. If it were products that were not, that I was not super excited about and passionate about, yes, that would be difficult. I worked in the plumbing world before. So when we had 20 or 30 new plumbing products, yeah, it was pretty crappy. I had to drop the dad joke in there. I'm excited as can be. I know Jimmy is as well. Like Jimmy said, I can kill turkeys. Jimmy's a turkey killer. We're super excited. We've worked really closely to make sure we get these, you know, launched in time. And honestly, this is the most exciting project that I've worked on. I've been at Pradco for almost 10 years, and I love Code Blue and, you know, all of our other brands, but there's something different about turkey hunting and about products for the turkey hunter. So yeah, I wouldn't say it's been difficult. It's been stressful to make sure that, you know, we do the brand justice, because that's something that, you know, Harold and David built, and we all feel like, you know, we're doing the best we can, but there's a reputation to live up to. And, we're definitely doing that. So I wouldn't call it difficult, but it's been plenty.
For some reason, when you said plumbing, I envisioned like a boardroom with all these people in it. And then the boss comes in. He's like, hey, guys, I got some great news. And he's trying to hype up everybody about like a flange or, you know, like, whatever, you know, there is with plumbing. And it's like, OK, well, whatever. This is
it's like, plumbing. How do you brand plumbing?
Dan, we'll have a new plunger next year. And we'll have a turkey head sitting on the top. We'll set it right in here. It's going to be the most exciting thing you've seen.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Matt has done a phenomenal job. I cannot give him enough credit, right? He works tireless. The team works tireless. Our marketing team right now, with what they've done in creating the excitement, right, teasing a little bit here and there, it's been humbling to see the, the positivity around this brand coming back. So, I mean, we are really excited.
I'll tell you this. One thing about turkey hunters, there's deer hunters. And if you're going to look at deer hunters in a big bucket, you know, 80% of deer hunters are what I would call casual. And they go out a couple times a year. They maybe go do their deer camp one weekend a year. You know, there's guys like me who are psychopaths about bow hunting and stuff like that. But I feel like when it comes to turkey hunters, I got friends who, if turkey hunting overlapped with deer hunting, they would choose turkey hunting. Right. And yeah. And so, there's something about turkey, the core group of turkey hunters that are way more serious about it than the core group of deer hunters. What do you think that is?
Yeah, man. When you look at deer hunting, you go out and you sit in a tree stand, and don't get me wrong, I get just as excited shooting a big deer or a buck or whatever as I do, you know, anything else. But
yeah,
you know, it's something that I can share with someone, man. Mm-hmm. Right. If I want to take my dad out or the kids, they can go with me. And honestly, listen, I love killing turkeys just as much as the next guy, but I think it's the camaraderie, it's the relationships, it's the memories that I've built, not by myself sitting in a deer stand, but with other people that you know, makes it even a little bit more special to me, right?
Yeah.
And you know, hearing a gobble, man, there's nothing like it, to be honest with you. And
yep.
You know, you can do that with someone. So I think it's, you know, that's how you kind of separate the deer hunting with the turkey hunting, a lot more interaction and easily shared with, you know, people in the woods. So,
right.
You know, that's my thoughts on it.
Yeah. So,
Turkey hunting's a cult to me. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, once you're in it, like, I get excited to go deer hunting every year, but like Jimmy said, like, there's just every year that first gobble you hear, like, there's just, you can't imitate that. There's no, like, a buck comes out, like, we just had, you know, a big hunt recently where we hunted three straight days, morning and night, and I saw some bucks, and you get that excitement for a second, but, like, I mean, it's just different with turkey hunting. I mean, there's no way to describe it, but it's different.
One of my favorite things about turkey hunting, all right, is, so I grew up turkey hunting without blinds. Right. Mm-hmm. Run and gun only, shotgun, you know, the old Mossberg pump and maybe some, you know, some camo, and you go, right? You go sit a little bit and you go, dude, I'm telling you, I had a conversation with a guy about what is your favorite thing about being in the outdoors. And I gave an ultra specific, and that is when I set up on a turkey who's gobbling in front of me and we're playing that game, right? We're calling back and forth with each other. Maybe they're hung up with some hens. And then you hear behind you, you hear the boom, boom. And you're just like, oh, shit. Like, you're about ready to lose your mind and you just got to stand still. And you're looking so hard without moving. Your eyes start to get strained because you can't move your head. And, oh, man, I don't know what it is about that. That just gets me fired up. And then I hit a point in turkey hunting where I had killed a lot of turkeys, and I just kind of, I don't know, personally got done. Like, I was just done with it. I started skipping seasons and like, I was full bore into deer hunting, but now I got three kids, and my daughter shot her first turkeys last year. And my son is now gung-ho about wanting to get out there and go turkey hunting this year. And now I've got a reason to get excited again about that. Mm-hmm. And so now I'm starting to look at all these different products and, you know, going to the store and buying camo for my kids and maybe trying to get my daughter her first call or something like that. And so, I don't know. I personally,
awesome,
yeah, I'm yeah. personally invested into turkey hunting again.
Well, welcome back.
Yeah, I know.
Welcome
yeah.
back.
I know.
This is perfect timing.
Hey, thanks for you know, it's like, a family member who goes to jail and now they're out and they're on the right track. And you're like, we've always loved you. Come back to us. Come back to us. So,
this episode is brought to you by Indeed. Stop waiting around for the perfect candidate. Instead, use Indeed sponsored jobs to find the right people with the right skills fast. It's a simple way to make sure your listing is the first candidate see. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs have 4 times more applicants than non-sponsored jobs. So go build your dream team today with Indeed. Get a $75 sponsored job credit at Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
So let's talk a little bit about those customers that you mentioned who are like, when are you coming out with this? When are you coming out with this? What, how much does customer feedback play a part in what products you are going to start to launch or adjust moving forward?
Yeah, it's a lot of it, right? You know, and I call that the 80% rule, right? We can be the 20% sitting in a room thinking we know everything and we know what to bring back. But, you know, when you see the posts out there and you listen to your consumers and what they tell you, you tend to be a little bit more successful with, you know, with what you're doing. And, you know, I think that matters a lot to us. And I'm sure Harold and David, you know, when Matt spent time with them down there a few months ago, I would probably say that they would say the same thing, right? You know?
So, yeah.
Yeah. And so does it have a direct impact on changes? I mean, if you guys have specific examples on that, it's like, oh, man, I like this call, but if you did this to it, or I like the vest, but if you did this to it, and you got enough people doing that, then there might be some energy generated to make that change.
Mm-hmm. We definitely listen to customer feedback. And like Jimmy was saying, we can overanalyze a project into the dirt and then it come out and it's a great call or a great whatever in the hunting industry. And it can be a flop if the customer doesn't want it. And it's not, if we don't do a good enough job explaining how to use it. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's just a lot of things. The best product can sit on the shelf. So definitely listen to consumers. And talking with Harold, that was one of my first questions, is tell me, like, I look at it, and like I said, I just got into turkey hunting in more recent years. So the history of Night and Hail is the more recent history for me before I got to actually talk with Harold and David about it. What worked for them? What didn't work? What ideas did they have that they couldn't, that they, you know, maybe couldn't afford to bring out at the time when they were a small business? Like, what, you know, what other companies made products that we never made and they just killed it? And, you know, what can we do differently this time around to make sure that the consumer is involved, that we're, you know, we're looking at it from all aspects. And it's just, it's invaluable. The hunter feedback, I mean, that's, there's nothing more valuable than that, than what the customer wants. Cause you can give them a great product that's not what they're looking for, the way they want it, when they want it, you know, it's, it can be a flop. So definitely important part of it.
Yeah. And so obviously customers play a huge role in what is launched. Now, when we do launch a product, and this is where, how do you stand apart? Because let's be honest here, there are a lot of products that are similar. Another brand can come out with something, like, especially for someone who may not be initiated into hardcore, let's just say, turkey hunting, right? Mm-hmm. A call is a call is a call, right? So how do you say our call is better, or you should buy this call instead of a competitive brand who has a product that is damn near similar?
Yeah, we've got to concentrate on quality. Hand match strikers with each pot call. Each call is, we're not, a lot of calls, and there's nothing wrong with any of them, but the mass production of calls can do that, can make it where a lot of calls are very similar. We're testing and quality controlling and hand striking every call before it goes in a package to make sure that, you know, you, when you pull it out of the package, it's not just a striker, it's the striker that was matched to that pot call. And then calls like the push pull call, that was an invention of Harold and David's from the 80s. They were the pioneers of that call, and there's not a lot of people making that call. It's a staple to our line, and it always will be. And that's something that, you know, you can try to make that, or you can mass produce something like that overseas, but there's nothing like a handmade call right here in the USA. And that's something that we're taking pride in. And we're going to, you know, we have to show the brand and what it's about, and not that it's just, like you said before, there can be a connotation that it's about just about profits or that it's just big business, but that's not what Night and Hail is about. And, you know, that's maybe something that could have been a problem in the past, but it won't be a problem this time. You'll feel that it's a homegrown brand and that the products are touched by people that are turkey hunters and turkey callers.
Yeah. All right. And now to elaborate on that just a little bit, Jimmy, you said before we started recording that you handle some of the sales of the products. And sometimes, and I'm guessing here, sometimes you'll see something perform really well and there won't be a lot of customer feedback. So how does sales, like within this circle of life for a product, how does sales communicate with product development and say, hey man, we may have something here?
Yeah, I mean, it's to your point. I mean, if you don't have any feedback, Dan, it's tough to make a change, right? But sometimes no news is good news, right? So, and I think, you know, to Matt's point, a call that we make has a different touch, has a different sound to it when it comes out of the package, right? You know, if the consumer is happy with what he or she bought, you don't have any issues, you know? But, you know, when we do have an issue, we need to take care of that issue. And it's, you know, it's something that, you know, our team internally are, you know, we're going to take it pretty serious. So, but, you know, that's kind of an open-ended question, Dan, honestly, man, because it's tough to really track that down sometimes, you know. So we just have to try to make the best product that we can, you know, and hope that the consumer gravitates to it. So. There's no secret recipe out there, I don't think.
Yeah. Okay.
Jimmy's known for the Eastern time, you know, 11 o'clock text message with an idea that it's just like, I've got young kids, I'm trying to put them to bed, and like, who's texting you right now? It's freaking Jimmy with some idea, or he's at a show. Jimmy's all over the place. He's at, you know, every consumer show out there pretty much. So, he keeps the roads hot, and you know, I'm a gear junkie when it comes to, you know, turkey and deer stuff. So I think I'm in the know, but Jimmy's seeing it firsthand at the show. So he's actually seeing the product. So I try to get feedback from him. I've got a group of, you know, close turkey hunters, the guys that mentored me, especially my father-in-law. I lean on him a lot for, you know, feedback on products. And, you know, we're not putting out a call that, you know, I don't want anything with Nightingale's name on it that's going to pay the bills. We want it that's going to kill turkeys and that's going to, you know, help that reputation, because that's what we're building right now. Like you said, we had Harold and David built that reputation, and it, you know, kind of the call side of it went away for years. And, you know, we've got work to do on that side, and that's what we're focusing on.
And I will tell you this, hunters are the most critical people towards their equipment that I have ever met. And I am one of them, right?
As soon as something goes wrong, you're going to hear about it.
Right? Oh, yeah.
You know? I mean,
yep.
It's the way we are.
Yep. And so, I mean, I might not be the guy who complains about it, but I am the guy who will never buy it again if it goes wrong or if it does not. So this is the best thing that I've ever heard. If I'm not thinking about it while I'm hunting, then it's doing its job. Right. If, for example, my boots or my socks, if my feet are cold or whatever the case is, enter product here type of conversation. It's going like if I'm thinking about it, that means it's not making me confident in that piece of equipment.
So, confidence is key.
Confidence is key. Yep. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. All right. So big product launch this year. Lots of new stuff coming out. When you guys sit at the Nightingale round table or the Pradco round table and you're having these conversations about what's next? What do those conversations look like?
We've got a laundry list of products that are on. That's what makes me, keeps me up at night, is the list of things that are to come. The stuff, like you said, was it hard to launch this year? Super excited about that part. But we've got, you know, I don't even want to guess how many projects we've got on the list, but it's in the tens for sure. So will we get all of them across the finish line next year? No, but we're looking at, obviously, on the call side, we're revamping, you know, turkey calls, deer calls, hunting accessories. Like I said, I didn't mention it too much, but we launched a turkey chair this year that, you know, we've got the turkey vest, and it's not for everybody. As my, you know, as you get older, sitting on the ground and, you know, up and down, that 6 inches of getting off the ground is valuable to my, you know, grandpa who's hunting. So I love this chair. I deer hunted out of this chair. We were testing it all through last year, and It's freaking awesome. I love it. It's a little heavier than, you know, carrying a 2-pound turkey vest, but at, you know, 6 or 7 pounds, you can sit in that thing all day. It's kind of like sitting in a summit climber. You can sit in a summit climber all day long, whereas if you're in a saddle, if you got a back like mine, like, you're just not gonna make it happen. So we're trying to look at all aspects of, you know, deer calls, turkey calls, accessories, and beyond. Honestly, I can't drop any hints about what's on the docket, but it's definitely, we'll just say, it's not just calls and vests. But you know, we're excited about it. These are things that I know Jimmy's, you know, selling on that side and has lots of ideas, but on my side, from, you know, the product management standpoint, I've been chomping at the bit to do something. You know, for Code Blue, for example, we launch products every year, and I don't want to get too far into, you know, a crazy product that's just this gimmicky. The product does what it says it's going to do. There's not a whole lot of ways to reinvent the wheel. I love turkey hunting gear, and I've, you know, been pining for the day to be doing these projects. So I'm excited about it. But yeah, accessories, and, you know, rounding out that call line, but we're not going to be everything to everybody either.
Yeah.
That was part of Night and Hills. I think part of the problem before was we had calls for every animal on the face of the planet. We're probably not going to get back to that point. You know, we have other categories on the docket, but we're not going to have 38 different gadwall calls like maybe we had before. And when Jimmy mentions mismanagement, that's part of it. And that's not a knock on anybody who was working with Night and Hill before, but it's hard to be everything to everybody. We know what we're good at, and that's where we're going to focus.
Yeah, that chair, that new chair, Dan, is great for kids too, right? My little guy. I mean, it was my fault when he missed his first turkey, right? Because he was sitting too low, so it wasn't his fault, right? So, you know, when I look at the importance of, especially now, getting the younger generation out into the woods, right? You want them to be comfortable, so a product like that can really, really help with making that hunt a little bit more comfortable for them. You know, when they're out there, they don't sit on a rock or a stick. You know how that goes. You sit down, and then you think then you hear that drumming in your right ear, and your left side sleeping, right? So things like these products make it a little bit easier for these guys and kids to hunt in. So
I will say that chair, I pulled it up here, and it looks comfortable, and I think the flaw for me with it would be I would fall asleep. And then I'd have a strutter at like 20 yards in front of me, and I'd open my eyes and my gun would drop or I'd shake or something, and I'd screw up there. So,
well, you'd fall asleep, but your legs would be feeling great.
Exactly. Your legs would be awake. That's right. Well rested for the afternoon hunt. There you go.
If you have to get up and chase the gobbler down, you'll be fine. You will not fall on your face when you stand up. But that, like I said, I deer hunted out of it. And, you know, in the testing part of it, it's like, I'd prefer not to hunt from the ground most of the time, but I had a couple opportunities to deer hunt out of it, and I sat for 4 to 5 hours, both sits, you know, morning and night, and it's freaking awesome. I mean, that textile material is super forgiving for, you know, a heavier guy too. So, great seat.
Let me ask you a question about the turkey calls a second, from a product development standpoint. You know, I'm looking at the diaphragms right now, and there's all these different little cuts and slits and things. Is there really that much difference in the sound of it based off of the cut of the diaphragm?
There is. Reason being, and to go back to, you know, we have turkey hunters cutting these calls, makes a big difference, right? So a 3,000th thickness, a 4,000th thickness, you know, allows you with the air pressure, tongue pressure to manipulate the different sounds of the turkey, right? You know, if you want to get real soft on them, you know, a thinner reed will help you, you know, or if you're a beginner, these reeds all make a big difference in terms of the maybe the capacity or how a caller calls. And then, you know, from a new caller, you know, usually we send them to you know, maybe a 2-reed, no cut, you know, because he doesn't have to force as much air on him. So every call, every cut allows the caller to make a different call, make a call louder or softer, and manipulate a turkey in many different ways. So, yeah, there are a bunch of differences in these cuts, for sure.
Okay. All right. And I'm not a nut when it comes to calling. I'm that guy who I do the same call every single time. Yep. I'm not a turkey.
And it works. I mean, you don't have to be a master caller to kill a turkey, right? You know, I'm not saying that by any means. So, but you know, as you get more into it, it's like playing a guitar. The more chords you know, the more songs you can play. So,
that's a fact.
I mean, it's the same. It's the same with turkey calls. So,
yeah. So how do you guys make the decision on what cuts or materials to use on these products when there are so many options out there that you could potentially do? How do you narrow it down?
Like you said before, when you're asking how many calls we're dropping this year, like 10 calls is a good bit for any company to drop in a year, even if we're starting from the ground up. So we looked at probably a dozen different cuts and different, you know, stretches, different material thicknesses, like Jimmy was saying. Jimmy, like you were saying, Dan, a mouth call to me is probably like, I feel good. If I buy 10 mouth calls, I feel pretty good with about three of them. That's about like, I usually buy a bunch and then pick a few. And that's what I'm using for the year. As I've gotten better at it, I'll go back to those calls that I put away that I couldn't use as well the year before. And, you know, I'll feel better about them. We picked these three really because they're all three of them are super user friendly. All three of them out of the package. I feel like I'm a really good example of a lot of our customers, like kind of like you, for example. You're not a champion mouth caller, but you need to be able to find a mouth call that's, I'm going to pull out of the package and I'm not going to have to do anything to it. And it's going to be, you know, it's going to be able to do everything I need to do. These three calls, I feel satisfied that need. And like I said, we've already got a dozen different cuts tested and you'll see some of those next year, but launching, you know, a dozen mouth calls, we just didn't want them to get lost. I mean, there's a lot to be said. When you go to the hunting store and you're looking at, you know, 60 different cuts of mouth calls by 10 different companies. Like, it's like, what do I do? Am I going to really read the packaging for all these? You're going to know that with these three, especially that, you know, they're going to be user friendly right out of the package. So we've taken a lot of care to test different, you know, all the different options. And this is what we settled on as the three best for this year.
Who is Knight & Hale's demographic?
Everybody has a place at Knight & Hale. Like you said, there's a lot of guys that grew up on Knight & Hale, and we want to bring back that luster. We want that consumer to come back. And like you said, you grew up on Knight & Hale. You're starting to teach your kids. You have to be our storyteller. We have to make you believe in the products that we're selling so that you can be our marketing. That's the best marketing in the turkey world, is word of mouth and user experiences. So everybody's our demographic. Like I said, we're thinking about, you know, guys that are my dad's age right now when we're making products. We're thinking about my younger brothers who are just getting into turkey hunting, that are in their early 20s and, you know, really honestly didn't have, like, I didn't grow up in a house where everybody hunted. So I'm thinking about people that, like your kids who are probably going to start super young. We're thinking about guys like me that are, you know, late to the game and probably don't have a mentor to bring them out. I mean, I'm trying to think from every aspect what products make sense that everybody can use and, you know, that we can produce and do it well. So everybody's our demographic. I mean, turkey hunter, you do it differently when you're a kid and when you're, you know, my grandpa's age. So there are different things that wouldn't work for both, but like our turkey vest, for example, it's, if you're 7 feet tall or 3 foot six, it has, I think, 12 points of adjustment. We got pictures from past shows where you've got like the biggest guy at the show and the smallest kid wearing the same exact turkey vest. It has that much adjustment. So when we develop products, we're trying to think of utility and who's going to be using it.
Right.
That's a great answer. And I agree with you, Matt. Our demographic is everyone, Dan. And, you know, I think Harold and David started this company not to get rich, right, but to make a little money to go hunt in another state. And what they did, or what Knight & Hale, I mean, even for me, they created a product that helped create a memory that is long-lasting, just like you stated in the beginning of this podcast, right? And it still sits with you. So, you know, as I get older, you know, and I'm taking the kids hunting, they see the brand, they see what I'm using, you know, in our hopes that everyone that takes their kids hunting have an opportunity to share that memory, and they share it with a Knight & Hale product.
Yeah,
And that's long lasting. You can't buy that. I granted the call costs money, but that's invaluable to me. So and I think that's David and Harold's. You know, that was their ultimate goal, man. So
yep. All right. There's a guy. He walks into a Bass Pro Shop or a Cabela's or any store that sells turkey hunting equipment, and there's a wall of all your stuff, all the competitors. Why should that guy choose Nightingale?
Because he gets a quality product. When you look at the space right now and where we've priced ourselves, and Matt's done a bunch of analysis on this category. But when you look at our pricing, we're a USA-made call, what I would consider a custom call, at a little bit lower price, right? So affordability is important. And with that being said, you get a custom-made call made by a turkey hunter at a great price.
And not at a show either. You can find us at, you know, your local retailer. Sometimes there are a lot of great call makers out there and who, you know, you could put their calls up against anybody, but you can't easily access them. They're not selling to every consumer out there. We're going to be everywhere you can find turkey calls. And that's, you know, that can be a good thing and a bad thing, but you know, we're not a mass produced turkey call like some of the others out there. Yeah. We're making a lot of calls. We plan on making a lot of calls, but I mean, we're taking time and care to make each one custom and to, you know, tune to that hunter that's got it in their hands.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even as a guy who I would say turkey hunting is my second, right, to deer hunting, when you start saying, well, this product is made by an actual turkey hunter, this product is made in the USA, man, that sounds pretty darn good to me already, right? Yep. And so, I mean, even there's even people out there who say, and I'll pay more for a USA made product. I'll pay more for a product that's made by a guy who's doing the same thing that I'm doing. And then you also tell me it's affordable. That just seems like a no-brainer to me anyway. So,
and I think turkey hunters, especially, like, you go to those shows, like go to NWTF, I would love to hear a figure of the number of calls and just the amount of money that's spent by turkey hunters at NWTF, because I don't need any more calls. I have calls coming out my ears, but you know, I can't go somewhere and not buy at least a mouth call or at least, you know, something when I go to a show like that. And it's something that, like, my kids may not be as into turkey hunting as I am, but I look at it, like I said, I didn't grow up in a turkey hunting family. Like, I long for the grandpa who turkey hunting is going to pass down that call he's had in his vest for, you know, 30 years. And, you know, that call that you can't find anymore that, you know, maybe Nightingale produced back in the 80s, and mm-hmm. grandpa's got it in his shoebox. He paid $10 for it. And, you know, it's priceless. Turkey hunters and turkey calls and gear are just different. Like, if I lose my turkey vest, I can go find another vest. You know, the vests that we make are the accuracy and the sewing and everything else. Like, it's down to, like, you could pick my vest, you could grab it off the shelf, and it's going to be the exact same. That's where quality matters there. But with a turkey call, like I said, each call is different and each striker is different. Each piece is different. And it just makes it, it's turkey calls are just different. So
yeah, absolutely.
We're taking care.
Absolutely. Gentlemen, I mean, the website is, for a good starter, is nightandhale.com/products, and it's going to give a list of all the products that are currently available. When are you guys planning on having everything ready, up and running, as far as the new products are concerned?
Everything is in stock now, but we are...
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
I think we may have one or two that are coming in that are at our warehouse right now that are being checked in like today or tomorrow, the last pieces, but we're in stock now. We've already launched everything on social media. So trying to get, you know, get people back in the know. Like Jimmy said, we had like, it's like 35,000 followers for a dormant account that I hadn't posted in, you know, 6 years. Mm-hmm. So we've been doing what we can to kind of revitalize, you know, the marketing side of it, but our big launch is really the NWTF. We're going to be at booth 1049 and, you know, Harold's going to be in the booth. He'll be there to sign calls, talk turkey with everybody. And it's like, I can try to sell you a call. Jimmy can make a call sound, you know, like a champion turkey call better than I can, but people are going to want to see Harold. He's going to be in the booth and he's going to be, you know, hand tuning calls for folks, talking turkey, telling stories. I'm reaching out to old customers and old contacts that we had to see if they can come by the booth. And it's going to be kind of a revival.
It's a family reunion, Dan, and you're invited. We're, like I said, we're glad to have you back.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, gentlemen, I really appreciate you taking time out of your day to hop on and chat with us a little bit about Night and Hail and the resurgence and the rebirth of the brand. Thank you very much. And good luck at the NWTF show.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network. And this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.